Welcome to Metapod, the podcast where we discuss operational execs and organizations that make and move stuff, and our common headaches, digital transformation, the forever labor shortage, and doing more with less. And now, the host of Metapod, Ron Crabtree.
So let's get at it here and talk more about the Defense Production Act and focusing on the strategy side of this at a little bit higher level, I think. With me today is Jim Gitney, who's published a pretty cool book he'll tell us more about here in a couple of minutes. And for this particular episode, we're going to focus in on the Defense Production Act with respect to strategy. In Jim's mind, you know, what are the top three diagnostics that we should be really thinking about in our strategy of how we're going to compete in the future and why we're going to compete in that area? And then how they could leverage back to, you know, what's going on with that Defense Production Act. Model would like tap into it as either an opportunity or, if we don't, it's a threat. We fall behind or competition does stuff we don't. So with that, I'm going to ask Jim to take a moment, introduce himself, and talk a little bit about your book.
Ron, thank you for the opportunity to be part of this conversation, which is near and dear to my heart. So I'm an engineer. I have an MBA, but I've spent almost my entire career with companies like GE and Black & Decker and Sunbeam, working on the operations and strategy side of those businesses. And over the 25 years of my corporate career, I learned a lot about the importance of companies setting appropriate strategies and having one most important goal that they are really focused on. And I started Group 50 Consulting in 2004. So we worked with over 200 companies and saved them in excess of $400 million in top line improvements in top line performance and bottom line results. So that's a little bit about my background. In 2013, I created something called Business Hierarchy of Needs. And it's obviously a play on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but applied to business. And if you sit and think about it for a second, there are some fundamental needs that a business has and a process it needs to go through in order to create strategy, optimize the organization, its skills and capabilities and structure in order to be able to implement those strategies. So we've been using Business Hierarchy of Needs for over 10 years, well, almost 11 years now. And a year ago, I decided to write a book called Strategy Realized, the Business Hierarchy of Needs. And it's the fundamentals of what every business does it or needs to do. And it doesn't matter what size it is. It doesn't matter what industry it is. You need to have a great strategy. You need to have your leadership team aligned to it. You need to have the right organization, and you need to have the right skills to implement. So that's a little bit about me. Thank you.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you. So I'd like to start with here is, you know, 5 to 7 minutes worth of a diagnostic. You know, there's 30 things we could talk about, you know, like the 30 initiatives the Biden administration kicked off in November 2023 that we've yet to see what all that's going to mean. But in your opinion, based on, you know, you're not an expert in EPA, neither am I, but based on what you kind of understand about it, what would be your diagnostic for organizations to consider with respect to what should I be looking at? Why should I be looking at that? How do I know it's either a threat or an opportunity to somehow leverage or piggyback on some of these initiatives? What are those top three things you would give as advice from a diagnostic perspective?
So it's interesting. I find that companies often don't do a good job of taking advantage of government initiatives that exist in either their marketplace or in the general, what I'm going to call commerce marketplace. The Defense Production Act, you know, established during World War II to allow the president to take control of things or to prioritize things, has been used by the Biden administration to focus on several areas. One is energy, another is logistics, and another is the development of products that we are no longer have global leadership in. And so the first diagnostic, Ron, if we go back to the business hierarchy of needs, is companies and leadership teams need to understand their marketplace. They also need to understand what government assistance is available to them. So for example, the DPA allows companies to interact with each other and create strategies together, even though they're competitors, without running into the problems with collusion between competing companies. So there's an opportunity there to really understand what that means for your business. Number two is, if you're not in those industries, there's a significant amount of dollars available and programs available that allow you to significantly improve your energy efficiency, that allow you to significantly improve your logistics and nodal networks, that allow you to create more agile supply chains. Now, we're not going to talk about supply chains in this episode, but I do want to maybe have a tangential conversation around the fact that the DPA, from my understanding, is for us in the United States as leadership teams to be able to rebuild our manufacturing muscle, the muscle that we've lost over the last 30 years by farming out things to first Mexico and then China. And the other thing is to build resilient supply chains through an agile supply chains through the use of nearshoring and bringing either in Mexico or in the United States. I'm going to stop there and not go any further, because what I'm attempting to differentiate here is that supply chain strategy in companies that produce goods and services is a critical strategic pillar. And so for those companies who do produce value-added products, it's important for those leadership teams to understand where they might be able to benefit from DPA, especially if they're not in the category of products that DPA is specifically focused on.
Good. So with respect to, you know, understanding the marketplace and, you know, where there's opportunities to collaborate, how would a company determine whether or not that's a real opportunity?
Well, number one is they need to understand what their position is in the marketplace relative to DPA and how it impacts them.
Good.
All right. If they produce solar panels or heat pumps or other types of products, the impact of DPA to them is much more significant, because there appears to be a lot more dollars available for them to do product development, collaboration, et cetera. For those companies who are in those product categories, right, there are, for example, the Supply Chain Council that's been formed by the Department of Commerce. And there are new tools available in order to understand risk and do risk assessment inside the supply chain. So those are two examples of things that companies can take advantage of in terms of being able to impact their business positively as part of their strategy. Now, how do you go finding out more about it? Well, because I'm not an expert in this, I suspect that the U.S. Department of Commerce is the first place to start.
Right. Awesome. We talked about, you know, tapping into, you know, the supply chain or rebuilding that manufacturing muscle. What would be things that organizations might want to ask themselves as to, is this an opportunity area for us to build the muscle, or is it a threat if we fail to do it? Is there anything specific there from a diagnostics, questions they might ask themselves that you might offer?
Well, I did a recent study or report, actually, which is on our Group 50's blog, around supply chain disruption. And the frequency of disruptions is increasing, not decreasing. And that covers a whole bunch of things, right? It's whether it's tariffs, it's geopolitical issues, it's, you know, funding by foreign national governments to dominate a particular category of products, et cetera. And what's happening is it's estimated that disruptions will cost companies in excess of $5 trillion over the next 10 years in profitability, $5 trillion in profitability. So what companies need to understand is that when they become so reliant on an external supplier or a particular country, their business is at risk. Notice I didn't say supply chain. I said their business is at risk. And that's a significant difference, because supply chain risk we can deal with and you have another conversation about it. But business risk, you know, what happens when you can't supply product for months at a time? What happens to your top line? What happens to your bottom line? So what we're finding with companies that we're working with, Ron, is that they are dipping their toes back into the strategy around agile supply chains, where they have a nearshore source. While they still may rely heavily on their offshore source, they create a nearshore source and begin rebuilding that muscle. And it's not something that you can do in 6 months. It takes multiple years because, as I may have said earlier, part of our strategies have gotten to the little, can I share a story with you?
Absolutely. That's I want to pivot pretty quickly here to that part, which is how do you do it now? Right? So you determined, yes, in fact, I need to be concerned about this. So what do we do? Yeah, the story would be wonderful.
So I talk about this story at length in my book, but the short version of it is, in the 90s, I ran an appliance factory for Black & Decker. And we started sourcing components from Mexico and China. That was in the early 90s. In the mid-90s, we started sourcing products from China or Mexico. In the late 90s, I could go to Taiwan and go into a 7-story building. And on the first floor was their entire display of coffee makers and toaster ovens and irons. And so I could just go there and say, all right, I want this one in that color with this kind of clock, with this kind of box, and within 6 weeks have a product. So what happened was we taught the Chinese how to build our products. So we no longer had to design them. We no longer had to manufacture them. So what do we do with those resources? We either reapply them or we take them out of the organization. Now, what happened in 2004, I believe it was, Walmart went to China, licensed the GE brand name for 6% royalty, went to all of these places that we'd created that could build our products, and purchased them directly, in essence, taking out Procter Silex, Black & Decker, Hamilton Beach, and others who were the dominant force in countertop appliances, completely decimated the countertop appliance industry. And we see that happening over and over again. We've seen it in semiconductors. We've seen it in raw materials. We've seen it in solar panels. And so this model is replicated it over and over again. And that's as a result of that, we've become beholden to a supplier that we have little to no control over. So that's how we got to where we are.
Exactly. So let's talk about, you know, you can't fix it all at one time, right? Hey, Pareto's laws in play. If there's a lot of things we could do, but, you know, we've got to pick the right things, you know. How would you help an organization think through, okay, what do we do? What's the best way to go after this? If in fact, built rebuilding that muscle, manufacturing muscle out there, you know, how do you go with that? How do you do that?
So we're working with several clients right now to do exactly that. And the simple version of the story, because as you can imagine, it has some complexities, is the very first thing you have to do is set your most important goal around being able to have more control of your manufacturing and distribution destiny. Now, that bleeds out into a series of activities that's going to be unique for your business and your marketplace. And with clients that we're working with, what we're doing is we're picking one or two or three of the products that they source out of China, and we're bringing it back. We're not bringing back all of it. It's almost like a development process. We start manufacturing a little bit again because we forgot how to design tooling. We forgot how to design the product. We don't have manufacturing engineers. We may not even have production facilities. And so we talk about what that 4 or 5 year roadmap is to regain manufacturing muscle. And that's why I go back to the DPA and the fact that there are lots and lots of dollars and programs available to help us accelerate that model. And like I said earlier, it's going to be dependent on what industry you're in and what products you're actually manufacturing, which will have an impact on how much money might be available. But the point is, there are government programs all over the place around. So California is a perfect example, right? If you set up a manufacturing operation in Tijuana, for example, in something called a sheltered workshop, and I won't get into that, into what that is, but it's a real simple way to open up a factory in Mexico and begin this process of rebuilding your muscle. You can actually put people in place in California, and California will reimburse you for their training. There's a whole.
What I really like about this conversation, and I wish we had a couple more hours to go deeply into this, but if somebody in the audience, right, and you're not a manufacturer, but you're a consumer of meat, look, let's just say you're a healthcare provider, you're buying tons of equipment, right, to keep up with taking care of people. What should you be asking your suppliers? You need to ask them these kinds of questions. You know, what are you doing to reduce, right, your reliance on your overseas and the risk associated with that from supply and cost and control and all those other things. So this conversation isn't limited to just, our core manufacturing companies having to source overseas present. Like anybody who's a big consumer of supply, stuff, better be looking at their supply chain and, the folks that they're buying from and ask some of these questions. So I'm sorry for the segue, but I didn't want anybody here to feel like they're being left out. This is a crucial conversation.
Yeah. Just to summarize that real quick, Ron.
Yeah.
Every business has a supply chain. We take raw inputs of some sort and we add value to it and we sell it to our customers and clients as either a product or a service. So one of the things that I spend a lot of time on when I'm talking to our clients is to have them recognize that every business has a supply chain. You have one. I, as a consulting firm, has one. And when you look at it through that lens, it gives you a different perspective on your business.
Very much so. Awesome. Well, with that, we're going to move in toward wrap up here. I'd like to take the next minute or two here. Or a couple of things. I'd like you to share with the audience, we're going to invite folks to collaborate, right? They even reach out to you. So you might share with the audience, if they want to talk to you, how would they reach out to you? How would they get in touch with you? And if you have any last general wisdom to share in the next 60, 90 seconds, we'd love to hear it.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we've talked about some pretty big topics. And I think we can also agree that those topics are going to be, your response to those topics are going to be unique to each business.
Right.
And to the life cycle of your business, what life stage it's in, what your marketplace is, who your customers are. So I will make this offer to your listeners. Anyone who wants to give me a call at 909-949-9083, or drop me a line at jgitney@group50.com. I'll be more than happy to talk to him for 30 minutes, no charge, just because I think this topic is so important for everyone to understand. And of course, they can get a copy of Strategy Realized, the Business Hierarchy of Needs, which outlines a very disciplined methodology for creating and implementing business strategy.
Awesome. All right. Well, there you have it. You know, Jim Gitney, thank you for joining us. This is just plain awesome. Thank you for your time today. And I hope your audience, our audience, right, got something, some little pearls of wisdom to help us be successful going forward.
Thanks, Ron. It's my pleasure being here. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining Metapod. For requests on topics or to ask questions, you can connect with Ron Crabtree three ways: via email at metapod@metaexperts.com, via LinkedIn, or by calling him directly at 734-425-1455, extension 103. Lastly, if you love the show, please consider leaving a five-star review on your favorite podcast app. We truly appreciate all your support.